There's only one reason that you can be unsettled. Only one. That's the Holy Spirit wants you to pray for someone. There's obviously a change going on in us. I mean, it's apparent. The idea of the other groups starting the idea that there's apparent disfellowship or whatever with Blum's group. I've tried so many times to call him, he won't answer my calls. The numbers of new people that are here, and it's important that you all be settled. Because
it occurred to me, if I'm insecure, I wonder how the new people are feeling. And that's what my feelings is insecurity.
Yeah. And it's only, I mean, just stop a minute and think. It's impossible. If you could only see once, if it can only break through that veil, that it's impossible for you to be any other thing than in peace and joy. It's impossible. And the only thing that takes place when you're out of that rest is it's a signal to pray for someone else.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, you're at that option, that point, that, well, it's that spear of destiny point. You take it to yourself and want to gain power, or you see it as the compassion for the entire world. And that's the line that you will be tested on. Because no one, you know, it's to use the Norman Grubb line again, no one in this group, in the stealth group, has any excuse to be a believer anymore. Now you're a knower. And if you're a knower, since you are a knower, there is no thing in time and space that can affect you. So anything that is seemingly upsetting you, and you may not understand this, anything that's seemingly upsetting you is always a signal to pray for someone else. That's the only thing. And the reason is so that you can be knit together in love.
Yeah, I do understand. I was... It's very rare that when I get like this, that the thought even crosses my mind that it's not me, and it did for once tonight on the way over. That, you know, wait a minute, maybe this isn't something, because I was going, okay, what was it? You know, was it something in the show I was watching? Is it something? I mean, what's bothering me? And it occurred to me that it may not be anything at all in me.
Well, I want you to not just say it's not only is may not, it isn't.
That's actually nice to know.
Sexually.
It's sexually nice and actually nice.
Sexually speaking.
But it's, I mean, that's the only line that he has to trick us on anymore.
That's great. You know, that's a few days ago. That was almost the same thing, you know. I woke up and I felt weird. I felt guilty. I felt weird. And I examined it for 2 days trying to figure out. And I was going, what am I doing? Why am I examining this stuff? And I still didn't figure out why it was weird, you know. But to hear that, you know.
The only thing that you examine yourself for is to see that Jesus Christ is in you. Once that's established, then it's impossible to be in any other position other than, unless it's in the position of compassion. You're suffering with someone else.
Yeah.
But then all you have to do is see that he took the cup. And so you give him.
Yeah.
You give it back up to him. You know, it's not our business.
Yeah.
I mean, that has to be... Wait, before here, keep your finger in Isaiah 59. Go to 1 Corinthians. 1.
Mm-hmm.
Corinthians 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That should be your, go back to Isaiah now, but that should be your byword. Now the only, as we talked in Bananas about this last night, the only way that you can be in the same mind and in the same judgment by any logical anything is to see, for all of you to see every situation is finished. Otherwise, it's impossible to be in the same mind or in the same judgment. You understand that? That's our line of demarcation from the rest of the world. And it is a black and white line. I mean, it is awesomely different. The sanctification is total. Because no one else believes that. It's finished. If it's finished, then yeah, I won't bring that. But anyway. If it's finished, and you see it's finished, then you're walking in the Spirit. Anything else is walking in the flesh.
Yeah. That's how Paul could say that I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's that one.
It's one issue.
Covers
every time, every place, every situation, every person. It's finished. Yeah. Be the same mind, the same judgment. It's finished. Well, then what the hell are we doing? Well, the finishedness is being tested. That's all. There's no good or evil. Okay, Isaiah 59. Now that understanding is the singular understanding that's necessary, the only understanding that's necessary to have on the right garment for the wedding feast, the Feast of Tabernacles. That's the garment. It's a pretty good garment to have on. Okay, now that's what Isaiah 59, verse 20. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. Now Zion is defined in the Psalms of Ascent. Zion is no longer a place in terms of physical. Zion is they that trust in the Lord. Ours Mount Zion. Remember, Psalm 127? So we should have sung the Psalms of Ascent by now. We're standing outside the gate and we're ready to enter into the temple for the final event of time and space, the Feast of Tabernacles. We have burned and smashed against the altar our houses, our coverings. We have smashed that apple or that the ethrog, the paradise fruit, the pomegranate, we smashed it against the base of the altar 7 days. We've watched Him pour the water and the wine into the altar. And Christ, we've heard Him cry out, "He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." We've watched and participated in the ceremony with the humongous torches were lit in the temple that lit every corner of Jerusalem, so there's nothing hidden. Now the gates are closed. What?
I was reading about Sukkos, you know, the booths. And for children, and how what the children do is they take the apples and they core them and they put candles inside of them, and they carry them around into this little thing, you know, everything. And I didn't understand what that meant, you know, because I forgot about, you know, throwing the apples on the walls and stuff like that, or the fact that it's the tree of the knowledge, you know, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But the idea that they core it,
take the heart of it out,
take the
put
heart
light
out,
in it,
take the seed out, and put the light in.
Yeah, that's kind of.
That's good. Good.
It's a blessing.
She didn't get a blessing for that.
That's
a
blessing.
That's
a blessing.
No,
it's a blessing.
No,
that's a blessing. Good. John the Elder said a blessing.
Okay.
Your blessing.
In your own Bible study.
The Redeemer shall come to Zion and to them that turn from transgression. What's transgression? Self. Shub is turned from. Shub, remember we studied that word for 3 years.
What does it mean?
Repent, some turn. Yeah, just in case, Doug's ministry, right. Well, just for the other people here, what does shub mean? Shub means turn. Not stop doing something, turn from self. The transgression, the only transgression, is self-seeking. Okay. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. That's the covenant. Is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Therefore, arise, shine, for thy light is come. You can't even use the high, all this nice religious bullshit about high priest garments and what they mean and everything. That's even gone. Because now they've taken all the garments and burned them so that they could light the light. But you got to watch Harry.
That's a good point.
I mean, I've been warned that there's several places tomorrow night where I'll have to, they'll tell me I have to go to the bathroom.
You should be going. Doesn't even deserve a response.
Don't dig
it. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. Therefore we can celebrate tabernacles. Is come, not will come. Not did come, is. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Now, remember we've talked a million times about Christ in you. Everybody understands it. Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. The mystery that's been hid from all generations. Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. But at the Feast of Tabernacles, another thing takes place, that his light rises upon you, or his glory is risen upon you. And that, in the same way that the Shekinah glory rested on the mercy seat, so the glory of God is resting on you. And the glory of God from time immemorial has only meant one thing, the transfiguration. Do you understand that Christ as a baby was meaningless to God? I mean, God could have popped his seed into 50 million virgins and had a baby.
It probably did. No, it doesn't work.
I mean, Christ as a baby come out, all he did is cry and wet his plants. And
wet his plants.
Plants. And he wet his pants also. And he beat up his playmates, and he was screaming and yelling, and he didn't get what he wanted. It was worthless to God.
You know, still, when you say stuff like that, I still, every once in a while, I think somebody's going to kick in the door and come in here and guard us off the jail.
You're kidding.
Doctor and police, yeah. It's like illegal to say that or something.
Well, that's because you don't believe it. You still think Christ is this perfect little being. By your definition, Christ only was the glory of God when he was transfigured. And then he became the mercy and grace of God when he was crucified. But he couldn't have been the mercy and grace of God unless he'd first been the glory of God, the Mount of Transfiguration. Now stop a minute. The glory of God is risen upon you. That's a biggie. And I swear to you that numerous times during the course of the years we've been together, when I've looked at you, I've seen the glory of God risen on you. That's neat.
It is neat.
Remember that? I can remember one time in particular when we were having Passover, and I got wiped out because it was though I heard God say, I am well pleased, because I saw the glory of God risen on you. Until you see that, you'll still be tossed around by winds and wave of doctrine, and sleight of men where they lie in wait to deceive. Again, Darlene's a perfect example. She feels weird, so she's convinced something's wrong with her. Well, that's kind of dumb. That's fine for the Gentiles. If you feel weird, it means you're supposed to pray for somebody. It's because you are suffering with someone's weirdness. You are taking it on you. Compassion means to suffer with. That's always true. It's true for every man in the face of the earth. They don't know it. They do with that just like they do with everything else. They take their field badge as an instrument of their own rightness. And every time you start to question and think about, well, what does this mean and how should I get out of this and what should I do about that, you're doing the same damn thing. It's so simple. And it's the glory it's risen. Well, anyway. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Remember, there are 11 famines that are talked about in scriptures. The 10 actually physically took place. The 11th was the famine of the days of Messiah. In the book of Amos. And it's a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. I don't care if they have 50 billion Bibles and they go to church 16 times a day. As long as they don't see that it's finished, they're living in famine and they're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. A gross darkness has covered the people because the light is come and they continue on in your own self-seeking. The darkness shall cover the earth in gross darkness, the people. But the Lord shall rise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. You are in training to be rulers of universes and universes you've never even dreamed of. I've told you about the Zohar. It says there are 1,008 universes. Levels of existence, states of being. I don't care about that. I don't care if this is the last one. But all I know is that you are a chosen generation, a royal high priesthood.
a peculiar people, an I am people. The I am can't feel bad. The I am has no modifiers. The I am can't be broke. The I am can't have a need. And God is waiting and waiting and waiting for a people to apprehend and occupy that position. Kings, to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from afar, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then shalt thou see and flow together. There's no accident the word flow is used. The human race is like the salmon. They've been swimming upstream. I like the sperm cell better. The whole human race is swimming upstream, trying to get up the fallopian tube. You don't do that anymore. You want to flow. You want to rest. Thy heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Now, you know, we've talked many times, but we probably don't remember. Well, Doug remembers, but
for those of us who don't, right?
But why a woman has a period? Why a woman has a menstrual cycle?
You remember that?
Yeah.
Why do you go through the PMS stuff? It's like if you can be tested in that area, in IEC, in the midst of the hormonal upset and the imbalance and the weirdness, if you can still see through that veil of flesh and see you're complete and perfect, lacking nothing, then the rest of the things that can come against you are, and you get a chance to be, that gets a chance to be tested once a month. Now there's all kinds of other meanings about cleansing and the blood and the, but all that we did at the Rick's Ranch this weekend was we had bananas had a menstrual cycle.
Casting off of your own righteousness, writings.
Okay. The multitude of camels shall cover thee. Now that's pretty good.
Just what I was saying. You keep camels.
You know, he said I have PMS.
I don't quite get the meaning of this camels.
Camels.
The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. Dromedaries of the camels, obviously. They're from Midian and from Ephah. All they from Sheba shall come, and they shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All I'm saying, I mean, it's just a symbolically speaking, that all things exist for your purpose. Doesn't matter whether it's camels from Midian or Cadillacs from Detroit.
Testarossa or whatever.
Or Testarossa's from Denver, if we could have had one.
Good idea.
Do you know what, Rex? I didn't tell you the story. We could have had a Testarossa.
A
Ferrari Testarossa. $158,000 car at our disposal to use as we like.
But for.
Harry wasn't answering the phone that day.
But you want to bet this doesn't make it on the table?
Yeah.
Yeah, no one will ever know about that.
The best way to keep something on the tape, by the way, is to say it won't make it on the tape. Then it is.
Missed a call.
No. He misunderstood
it.
He didn't hear when the guy told him that.
Was this a multitude of dromedaries?
It was a dromedary. Dromedary was sitting up.
Missed it.
And if you had a
dromedary, it is his dromedary sitting in your sister's Wheaties.
Oh, God.
My sister's Wheaties? That's a. Yeah, good anyway. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. What are the flocks of Kedar?
Oh, that's the...
The wealth of the Muslims.
Yeah, like the tents of Kedar.
Yeah.
Kedar was a direct descendant of Muhammad.
Ancestor.
Okay. And the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered unto thee, and the rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance at mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Now, again, the sense here, all he's saying is, arise and shine, the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. All things exist for your purpose, is what he says in the way it says in Paul in the New Testament. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? Surely the isle shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Holy, of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. Now, I don't know when this is going to stop, but I know what this means in the spirit. 6 months ago, a year ago. I mean, we always want time to end, right? I mean, there's something in us that says, "Oh God, I want to let it be done."
Yeah.
Okay then. But Tina wasn't here then.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know where the cutoff point is. The Lord is not slack, as men count slackness concerning his promise. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But at some point, he will no longer strive with men. And the door will be shut. And time will end. The sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, and the idea is for a moment, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gates shall be opened continually. Now the gates here are the gates of the New Jerusalem. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Who is the thee here? Well, that's Jesus. That way we can make it sort of a subjective thing. A philosophical kind of religion that's sort of way over there. This is a promise to the bride, to you. The nation and the kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be, and the word nations there is the Hebrew word am. It just means people. those people shall be utterly wasted. And this book is getting kind of arrogant. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, the box together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. What Peter is talking about. You're built up no longer with stones, but with alive stones. Let's go to 1 Peter. Keep your finger there. Huh?
Let's tell Grace to keep her finger on Isaiah.
First Peter chapter 2. Verse 4. Well, it talks about tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, you also as lively, this should be alive stones, are built up, are edified, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And you can only offer up the sacrifice in the temple. That's the only place it's legal. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now the word, all of you know, the word peculiar there is this strange word. It's the feminine of the verb in the Greek, I am. You are the I am people. Okay, back to Isaiah 60. Verse 15. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shall suck the breast of kings. And thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob.
What does that mean, to suck the milk of Gentiles?
It means that, yes, where you use the world, but you don't abuse it. I mean, everything is yours.
That's why it's not eating meat of Gentiles, it's sucking the milk.
Yeah, it's just not, well.
I could say eating meat too.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It's a different
thing. It's like you no longer see something as the pure in heart, all things are pure.
Yeah.
For brass I will bring gold, for iron I will bring silver, for wood, brass, for stones, iron. I will also make thy officers peace, and thine exactors righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy wall salvation, and thy gates praise. The sun shall be no more the light, thy light, by day. Neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord alone shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall the moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light. And again, you know, when all his talk about being the light of the world was referring to this. And when you read his discourse in the Feast of Tabernacles, he talked about the belly of river and the light. I mean, and all of the Pharisees knew that light was always connected with Messiah. And so when he said, I am the light of the world, he signed his death warrant. Okay. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hand, that I may be glorified. A little one shall be 1,000. And a small one, a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. Now, that was the reading that was done by all the Jews just before Christ then said, well, they read that one in Isaiah 12. What time is it?
8:53.
Yeah. They said just before it was transfigured.
Isaiah 12. But I want you to get this in your mind, that these aren't isolated scriptures. These are what were read in the temple by them while different things were happening to Jesus. And now, in your understanding, they're read while the same thing is happening to you, Jesus in you. Okay. Isaiah 12.
Let's shoot the rubber band.
Let's shoot the rubber band.
Well, unseemly behavior for a man of the cloth.
Yeah, no. Somebody did that to me here.
I feel bad.
I can't believe you let him do that.
The vicar.
Okay.
I got him in the ear a minute ago.
I saw the ear.
Oh. Isaiah 12.
Fast forward. Short term.
And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Now, thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou now comfortest me. I cannot overemphasize enough that God is tired of you praising for a season,
yeah,
and returning to your normal sloth for a year. Knowledge demands a continuum, a constant recognition of the blessedness of who you are.
Amen.
This is the day that the Lord hath made. Be glad and rejoice there in it. That day is the eighth day. You cannot rejoice except in little, you know, hints of foreplay in the 7 days of linear time. All you can do in that 7 days of linear time is chase your idols and see them fall. Now, a lot of you have done this with regard to God. You have secretly believed that God was on your side when you felt good and God was out to get you when you felt bad. Some of you were secretly, and not even secretly, some of you openly believed that God was out to get you all the time. God isn't out to get you. God is out to conform you to the image of his Son. You have spent the time now, the 7 days of the feast. That's all the time has been up to this point, is 7 days of the feast. Now you enter in the day the Lord hath made. The eighth day, the resurrection day, the singular day seventh day is the day of rest. The eighth day, the Lord raises his right arm as he enters the fight. And you know nothing but joy. That's what we're celebrating tomorrow night. It's not your battle. Your warfare is accomplished. Amen?
Amen.
Thou wast angry. Why was he angry with you? Because you rejected mercy. Behold, God is my salvation. Now, that is a massive thing to say, because in the Hebrew it says, God is my only deliverer. It's the rarest thing in the world for someone to be able to say that. My intelligence isn't my deliverer. My success isn't my deliverer. My friends aren't my deliverer. My wife, this Bible study, isn't my deliverer. My job isn't my deliverer. My money, my anything. God is my only salvation. That's the heritage of the Feast of Tabernacles. I will trust and not be afraid. Now, when the three lads, the Hebrews, were thrown into the fire because they wouldn't worship Baal, I can't tell you. You forget it all the time, but I'll just keep screaming and yelling at him. Bel was the chief god of Babylon. And Bel's name in modern language is cause and effect. You cannot know the joy of him being your trust as long as you live in your mind in cause and effect. It's impossible. Now, it may appear to you like you're being thrown into an inescapable furnace, an impossible situation if you throw out cause and effect from your life. But forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. In thee and thee only will I trust, never again in cause and effect. I will not put my trust in that ever again. That's a biggie. Big biggie. For the Lord Jehovah is my only strength, my only song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Now that is what was being done in the water ceremony on the temple. This is the reading. Remember the water ceremony. And that day shall you say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in you, is what it says. Bad translation, because how could they talk, you know, King James translation, because the Holy One of Israel is in you. Said to say, in the midst of you. Or could, you know, if you think about it, it's in the middle of you, but great is the Holy One of Israel in you. Now, the essence of this life is from now on you walk in the Spirit. You have the mind of Christ. You no longer sow to the flesh, but sow to the Spirit. How in the hell do you sow to the Spirit? What does it mean to sow to the flesh? How do you walk in the Spirit? You walk with the singular mindset that it's finished, and that the results or what takes place are unimportant. Therefore, you will always automatically, by that act of the mind, you sow to the Spirit. If you sow to the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap eternal life. If you sow to the flesh, if you continue to sow to the flesh, you will automatically sow corruption.
It's like cause and effect is the impossible situation.
Yeah. Now, to walk in the Spirit is the heritage that can only occur on the eighth day. You can be guided by the Spirit for the 7 days. You can, you know, taste every once in a while and have a glimpse or an image. But to walk in the Spirit can only take place from the eighth day forward. Now, remember the Lord's, the thing that Christ said. If a son shall ask the Father for a stone, I mean, well, let's read it. Luke 11. Didn't ask for a stone. Shut up. If a son shall ask, in Luke 11, verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? I want you to try to forget everything you've ever heard about the Holy Spirit. And trust me for a minute that the Holy Spirit is all you need. It doesn't matter what you think you need at a given instant in this eighth day walk of walking in the Spirit. It doesn't matter what you put name you put to it. God is obligated by his covenant to give you the Holy Spirit. And not only give it to you, but out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Or it'll spill over and minister, if you will, or give life to all that you touch. Now, when the water ceremony was being accomplished in the temple, and all eyes were looking up from that porch between the court of women and the court of Gentiles, the voice of Christ cried out. And he said, the targum of what he said is, have you such wonderful rejoicing at drawing and pouring a little water from the pool at Siloam? He that believes in me, whole rivers of living water shall flow out of his own belly, producing joy unspeakable. Because at that water ceremony, that was the moment of great joy in this liturgy of the feast. And Christ in John 7 it's just a type. That's just a figure. That's just an allegory. I want it to come into your being that from this moment forward you cannot have a need. I want you to understand that from this moment forward, this is what Paul was writing in Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your abandonment be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. Let your prayer and supplication or request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds. What did it say? In or by or what? In Christ Jesus.
Through
Christ Jesus. Be careful for nothing. If you take away nothing else from this Feast of Tabernacles, and if you, in terms of teaching your people, can give them nothing else from this feast, it is that from now on, be careful for nothing. Explode! Be you for the first time in your whole life. Without apology, let it all out. As I keep telling you over and over, the Norman Grubb, no longer, you're from this point forward, you're no longer believers. You're knowers. Now that's the distinction when you pass from a young man to a father. A young man's a believer. A father is a knower. And that can happen from the child to the father that quick. But be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. That's the takeaway from this Feast of Tabernacles. If I had a banner, I'd put it on the wall down there. The Lord is at hand. Let your abandonment be known unto all men. The scripture said, let your moderation, that's another terrible translation. It's let your abandonment of self be known unto all men. And be a sign and a wonder in the environment you're in. Be careful for nothing. You have no cares, no worries, no fears, because perfected love has cast out all fear. You don't need to trust in the things that Gentiles trust in any longer. You don't need to worry or think about the things, even consider the things that they trust in. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And it doth not yet fully appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall see him, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself automatically. No effort, by abandonment, even as he is pure. That's the meaning of the Feast of Tabernacles. Explode, be you. No more mousy shit. No more second guessing yourself. If you ever feel upset or weird, it's only God's signal that you're supposed to pray for someone else. You is always in joy. Anything that disrupts that, simply said, it's the Holy Spirit saying, pray for someone. It has nothing to do with you. Amen?
Amen.
Take a big guy.